22:31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan asked for him, specifically for him, that he may sift him as wheat. Some of you want a challenge today. I want to tell you this. Satan's not asking for you, because you're already his. He's not. But that can change.
That's right.
I can change in an instant. There's some of you in here, you think you belong to the Lord, but let me tell you something. If you love him, what's he saying? Obey my commandments. We're not saved by our obedience, but our obedience demonstrates our love.
Mm.
When we walk in obedience, that's how we demonstrate our love for him. So if I'm telling you today, you're here today and you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit dropping on you right now, this is a word for you. I didn't have this plan. I didn't come in here and be like, oh, this is a great point one. Let's tell everyone that they're going to hell. Yeah, that's a great point one. All right? I didn't come in here with that. But I'm telling you, he wants you to know because he loves you and cares for you. And he's glad you're here today.
Yeah.
But he wants your life to change because your life does not reflect his word. And his word is the truth. It's not just the parts that you kind of feel good about and you kind of like. There's lots of stuff in there we feel good and we like. We're like, oh, that's good. Salvation, eternal life, yeah, I'm good with that. Oh, you want me to completely change my life? Oh, you want me to not walk in the darkness anymore? Oh, you want me to step out of the darkness into the light? I don't know, I kind of like a little bit of the darkness. Some of the darkness is kind of fun. Like, I kind of want to just, you know, have one foot over there and have one foot in the light. And he says, no, you can't have that. If you love me, obey my commandments. His way is better. Some of you, your money, we've already hit on money today. Well, oh man, classic, you know, new people come to church. We got all these new people today. Oh, they're talking about money because we care about your soul.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about, money. Money is the least of things. That's what Jesus says. If you cannot steward well the least of things, how can I trust you with more? How can I trust you with the true treasures of heaven? Money's a test. How will you handle money? Will you steward it for the kingdom? Will you steward it for God and give him the bare minimum? The bare minimum is 10%. Some of you are like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I gave him $10 last week. I gave him $100. Like, I don't care about the amount. You take that up with him. When the widow gave that little mite, it wasn't about the amount. Was it 10% or not? That was all she had. That was all she had. You deal with him with that. If he's convicting you, you take that to him. Let the conviction change you. Let it transform you. It's not shame or condemnation. When we come into the presence of the Lord, he begins to convict us. This is life change and this is transformation. And if you will listen and begin to walk in obedience, he will bless you.
Yep.
I'm telling you. How you handle your money, how you sow your money. Money's a seed. How you sow it, that will decide how you will reap in this life and in the life to come. Amen. I've been telling people this story just these last couple weeks because I love it and I'm excited about it. Earlier this summer, we started to realize, man, God's given us a house to meet in. He's given us a place where we can worship. Before this place, we were on the road. We were traveling, and that was a great season. I love that season. Waking up at 6 a.m. on a Sunday with my guy Jake and Andrew, and we're like opening a trailer, and we're like, you know, setting up chairs. We're setting up sound equipment week after week. And some of you are like, is he being sarcastic right now? No, I love this season. I'm serious. You're like, that sounds crazy. I don't want to wake up on 6 a.m. on a Sunday. I know some of you, just show up at 10:30 on a Sunday. That's right. Hey, man, that's all right. But let me tell you something. The Lord loves you, and he wants you here at 10. Get in there. He does. And I love you. Like, I love when we get in here at 10 a.m. I love it when we're here together, and we're ready to go, and we're ready to give him our best. So come early. In fact, we're open at 9:30. Really, you can come all morning to hang out with us. We're here at 7, 8 o'clock. Stone is setting up chairs. You can come hang out. We'll get the coffee going because that's the church. We love the church. We love people.
Yep.
But where was I going with this? I got sermons coming every direction right now. Money and how you spend it. This summer, we're thanking God. And they're like, God has given us a place. We don't have to tear down and set up anymore, even though I kind of miss it. I know Andrew and Jake, but I don't miss it as much. I still remember like a cold December day. We're setting up for like Christmas Eve services. And I'm like, yeah, guys, let's go. And Jake and Andrew are like, what is wrong with you? Like, I'm like, we're going to worship. We're going to come together. We're going to do this every week. We get to do this.
Yep.
Man, change your language. It'll change your life. Don't get up and be like, oh, we got to go to church or we got to do this. Change your language in front of your kids. Well, you got to do this. You got to go to church. You need to. It's like, no. We get to do this because he's so good. And yep. He chose us.
Come on.
Praise God. He chose you. He chose you. Tell somebody on your left and right. He chose you. Tell somebody on your left and right. He chose you. He wanted you here today. Gosh, he's good. It's fun, right? It's fun. This is what the church should be. It should be fun. Because it is. Even in a sifting season, I'm telling you, there's fun and there's joy in God's house. And I just feel it. There's so many things that broke off today. Those first couple songs of worship, I felt things just breaking in this house. Hard hearts were breaking. And I'm telling you, it's going to continue on out of this place and into wherever you're going today and to wherever you're going this week. It's going to happen in your families this week. You're going to feel that. Your kids are going to feel that. Your spouse is going to feel it. Your coworkers are going to feel it. They're going to say, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is. And you're going to say, I know what it is. It's the Lord.
Yep.
Something broke this week. He broke something off of me that needed to get broken this week.
Come on.
I'm telling you, there's new freedom this week for some of you in here.
Yep.
Now let me get back to that story that I've been working on for about 10 minutes here. This summer, we said, We got all this stuff that we were using to travel. We got cases and things like that that we would use for tear down and set up and all these things. We said, let's bless another church. We knew some other churches in this area that could use some of this stuff because they were still in a traveling season. They're still kind of, going from place to place and they got a tear down set up. And so we just reached out to them. And you know what we could have done? We could have said, I think we could sell this stuff. We could sell it for $100, $200, I don't know, whatever. And then we could just kind of use that for ourselves. We said, no. That's not who we are. We're going to give it away. We're going to sow it. Because when you sow, it's a biblical principle. You will reap. I'm telling you. So let me tell you what happened. We sowed. And I don't know what we gave, but we gave what we had. It was maybe $2,000 worth of stuff. Maybe. If we would have gone on Facebook Marketplace and tried doing all that, and tried reaching out, and hey, what's on this? We can give for a couple hundred or whatever. And we tried just, doing some of these deals. And so we just gave it away to some of these churches because we said it's going to build God's kingdom. If we bless another church, it's going to build God's kingdom in another part of the city. And we want to sow into that. And so we sowed. In this past month, we got a call from our friends at the wedding venue that we used to meet at. And they said, hey, we got some lights. We're like, okay, do you want them? Sure. We got some projectors brand new in the box. Do you want them? Sure. Some of you guys, you kind of noticed, we got some new lights, It's a little hobby lights, Some of you are like, wow, I really like it. They gave us 50 lights and 3 brand new projectors in the box. Like, I don't even know, the cost, if we were trying to do some of that brand new, I don't know what the cost was exactly. Andrew's kind of got it all figured out. He's got a running tally in his head. Somebody reached out then and said, hey, we got a soundboard. We needed a soundboard because we're doing everything through, this is where people are going to be like, that guy knows nothing about technology. We're doing everything through the Wi-Fi or, the air. It was all traveling through the air. And they said, we need to hardwire this thing. We got to hardwire it. And so Andrew was saying, if we can hardwire it, then we won't, sometimes we would have trouble. We would lose our sound up here. We would lose our signal. Like some of you were here one Sunday and, we were 5-7 minutes late starting worship. And it's because we lost our signal. And so we're like, we need a fix for this. A church reaches out and says, hey, we've got this soundboard that we're not using anymore. Do you guys want it? We're like, yeah, we'll take it. And it's way better than what we have. Like, way better. And then, this past week, I'm at this little mini conference that I'm a part of our pastoral network. And my pastor, Pastor Matt in Lincoln, in Mercy City, he's like walking us on a tour of their building. All those pastors from this network, and he's walking us through, and he's just like, I forgot, we got this LED wall that we used to use, but we don't use it anymore. He's like, anybody want it? And I'm just like, yeah, we'll take that. He's like, it's yours. And so he just gifted this to us. He didn't charge us a thing. So we sowed about $2,000 worth of equipment back in June, July, around that time. In the past month, Andrew and I, we calculated, we've been given about $23,000 to $25,000 worth of equipment. I'm just testifying to you. Begin to sow, begin to trust him, and see what he does. It's harvest season. It's not too late to sow. Some of you are like, oh, I missed it. It was in the spring. No, no. You can sow all year round. And just begin to sow into God's kingdom. Begin to sow into his people and see what happens. See the harvest. Some of you have been sowing for a long time, and you maybe didn't even know what to look for. You didn't even realize what God was doing. But some of you walk in supernatural health, or you walk in a divine level of health. And I'm telling you, what happens? When you sow, when you give in, there's a protection because you're walking in obedience to what his word says. A wise man pointed this out to me one time when I started financial peace with him a long time ago. He was kind of helping me and my wife, you know, break down our finances at that time as we were trying to get debt free. And you know, he was kind of looking at everything and he was like, listen, I know you guys are kind of, you know, looking at all these bills and everything you got, but you also have a lot going on for you. You guys don't pay anything in doctor bills. You don't pay anything in medicine. You don't do any of this. He said, that's directly connected because I see in your finances, you're obedient to the tithe. And he just encouraged me with that. And he said, keep walking in the tithe. Keep walking in trust in the Lord. There's a divine blessing. God's hand is on you when you walk in obedience. And we want that for you. Some of you, I know that's hard. Some of you, I know you're in here and you're like, this sounds like health and wealth gospel. I just want to challenge you with this. Who told you that God doesn't want you healthy? And who told you that he doesn't want you to have wealth? This is where people are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know, because this was me for a long time. Who does God want to have the resources in this world? Does he want the wicked to have the resources so they can continue to do wicked? Or does he want the righteous to have the wealth and the resources so they can invest the least of things into building God's kingdom? I'm telling you, if you are walking in God's commands, if you're walking in obedience to his voice, and you are giving, and you're being generous, and you're being a blessing because you've been blessed, let me tell you something. He wants to bless you today.
Come on.
He does.
Yep.
Go back to that line. It's the greatest line in the Bible, all the way from Genesis. Well, I won't say the greatest line. There's a lot of great lines. Okay. I got to be careful. That was a dangerous word. They're all great. Sorry, Lord. But I love that line where God is in the garden with Adam and Eve, and they say, we're naked, and he says, who told you that? Who told you that? There's some things that we believe about the Bible and about God, and I'm telling you, if you'll begin to ask, wait, who actually told me that? Did that actually come from God's word, or did that come from the world? Did that come from one of the experts of the law? Because Jesus had his harshest words for the experts of the law, for the Pharisees, for the Sadducees. And there were lots of things that they told the people that God never said. There were lots of burdens that they put on the people that God never actually said. And so I want to free you up today. If there's some stuff that you're kind of struggling with and you're wrestling with and you're like, that's not what I've been told, that's not what I've been taught, just begin to break down some of those things and say, who told me that? And then go to his word and see what his word actually says. Because in 3 John, what does he say? He prays for the church. He says, I pray that you would prosper in all things and in your health, just as your soul prospers. What's the most valuable thing? That our souls would prosper, that they would be transformed and renewed by his Holy Spirit. But then after that, guess what? What is John praying for that church? That they would prosper in all things, that they would prosper in their health. That they would prosper in every area. So that they could be blessed to be blessed. We've been blessed in this house. I told you last week, we've been blessed in an incredible way. We our giving is like so far high over projections, we haven't been able to keep up with our tithing. So this week we're catching up on the tithe, and we are sending 10 grand to a church in Kansas because we've been blessed to be a blessing. We're going to bless that house. We're going to bless that kingdom. Amen, sister. Yeah. He's good. Just start to ask yourself, If you're struggling with so many lies, so many things that you've been told, just ask yourself, wait a second, who told me that? Did that actually come from His Word, or did that come from the world? Did that come from one of these experts of the law? We're in a sifting season. I told you in the harvest, there's a sifting. You got to get rid of the chaff. We don't want the chaff. The chaff doesn't belong. There was a season where the chaff was helpful. The chaff was there as a protection for the grain, as a protection for the kernel. But once it's been brought in, there's a sifting and a winnowing that has to happen. And it gets shaken up, it gets tossed. And sometimes, you're right here, right now, some of you in here, you're getting shaken and you're getting tossed and you're like, Lord, what is going on? I don't get it. You're getting shaken so you can become unshakable.
Come on.
This is an unshakable church right here. He is shaking you right now so you will become unshakable. Only unshakable things remain. That's what it says in Hebrews 12. Only the unshakable will remain. You're getting shaken up right now. So everything that doesn't belong, everything that He wants to get rid of, that He wants to cleanse you of, He's cleansing that right now. It's blown away. Let the Holy Spirit blow that away. What you thought you needed to protect you in the previous season, He's saying, let that go right now. Some of you, you've been holding on to money and it's a protection. He's saying, let that go right now. Some of you, you've been holding on to a relationship because it's protection. It makes you feel safe. But that person, that woman, that guy, he does not follow the Lord, and He is telling you today, you need to let that person go. That's chaff.
Come on.
Let that go right now in the name of Jesus.
Yep.
Some of you, you've been holding on to an identity. You said, this is who I am. This is who I'll always be. I was born this way. I can't change. I love it. It protects me. And you've been holding on to that shell. You've been holding on to that chaff. And I'm telling you today, let the Holy Spirit blow that away because you're a son and a daughter in the house.
That's right.
Some of you are like, man, did he write all this? No, I'm just up here. He just gave me some scripture this week and said, here you go, son. I said, what do I do with it? He said, I'll show you when it's time. I heard a great preacher say this a couple weeks ago. He was like, man, I would always like, I had my sermon series planned out. I had it like 8 weeks out, 9 weeks out, you know, all these things, and we had graphics and all this, and you know, I was always ready. He said, in this season, this was about 2020 when things went crazy. He said, in this season, the Lord just keeps dropping stuff on me, but He waits. Because I need a word for myself, and I need a word for the church. And so He's just been desiring me to spend time with Him. And so in this season, He's just said, just spend time with me every week, and I'll give you exactly what you need. I'm going to give you fresh bread. I'm going to give you fresh manna to give my people, to give my sons, to give my daughters. But teach them how to do the same thing, how to spend time with me, how to spend time in my word.
Yeah.
Just do that, church. This week, will you just seek Him? Some of you, I challenged you last week. I said, just begin to soak. If you don't know where to start, just soak. Start with Scripture. And then begin to write in a journal. Write down your observations. That's the O. Then the A is application. How can you apply this to your life today? And then the P. Begin to pray over your life. Begin to pray that Scripture over your life. Begin to believe for it. And then you can add a D on there. Just declare. Just begin to declare God's Word over your life. Declare it out loud. Because the enemy can't hear the thoughts in your head, but he can hear the words you speak. And when you begin to speak and declare God's truth, it breaks off strongholds that the enemy's been holding on to. Begin to declare it over your life. Some of you, if you need a journal today, I think we got some journals out there. Grab a journal. Journals are free today, right? I've been giving away stuff this week. We're giving away stuff, right? If you need a journal, get a journal today. Begin to soak His Word. Start Luke 22 this week. Dive into Luke 22 and just begin to soak it every day. Spend time with Him. The farmer, he throws the wheat in the air, and the lighter chaff is blown away while the heavier grain falls back to the ground. The wheat is shaken violently through a sieve or a large strainer to separate the dirt and other impurities from the grain. And he's shaking you. But it's good. It's for your good. I still remember 2020 when I got shaken. When I've been in ministry for 13 years at one church, and I thought I was going to be there till the day I died. And in 2020, I get released because they didn't have the finances to keep me on anymore. And I felt that shaking season, and it was in the fall. It was a harvest season. I didn't even realize until right now, in this moment. It was a shaking, it was a sifting season. And he began to remove impurities from me. He began to remove the dirt from me. He began to remove the dirt of religion. The dirt of what others had told me. And he began to say, just come back and look at what my word says, because I got a fresh word for you, son. Mm-hmm. I'm calling you into a season of revival. I'm calling you in to lead my people into revival. That's what we're called to live a life of revival. To step out of the dry land, step into the water, to begin to just begin to let him carry you along the river. Begin to step off the banks, begin to step out of, in fact, some of you right now, you've been in the desert, a dry land of religion. I'm telling you, you can see a river in the distance right now. If you'll begin to run to the river, if you'll begin to get in, and just, you might be up to your ankles at first, but keep moving into the deeper water. Keep moving until you can't touch anymore, because that's the place of trust.
Yeah.
That's the place where you'll begin to lean on him. And say, Lord, I trust you. Carry me wherever you want to carry me. Let my life be yours, and it will clean away all the dirt and impurities. Don't be afraid of a shaking season. Don't be afraid of sifting. It's a beautiful thing if you'll lean in and press into him in this season. You've been shaken to become unshakable. When he's made you unshakable, he'll use you to fortify and strengthen those around you. That's what we see in verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, what happened to Peter? He went through a sifting. He went through a shaking. He denied Jesus 3 times. He was scared. He was worried. Everything that he thought he knew about life, it was shaken and turned upside down. But everything that was shaken off of him in that season, it did not belong. He had to go through the shaking and he had to go through the sifting so that he could be made and created unshakable. Some of you are going through a sifting so you can become unshakable, so you can strengthen others. So you can strengthen your brothers. That's what he said to him. That word... to strengthen means to make fast, to establish, to fix firmly. Strong support. Trust him in this season when you feel uneasy, when you feel scared, when you feel worried. That if you'll stay planted in him, if you'll stay planted in his house, if you'll stay planted in his word, even when you don't feel him and even when you don't understand what he's doing, if you'll just trust that this is a season. The sifting won't last forever. The chaff is being blown away. Trust him in this season. Hebrews 12, verse 27. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, the dirt and the impurities, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amos 9:9. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain that shall fall to the ground. Stay where he's got you. Don't run from the shake. That's what the devil wants. Right now you're being shaken up, and the devil wants you to believe if you'll just run, if you'll go over here, if you'll do that, in fact, if you'll do anything besides stay planted in God's house, you can get free from the shaking. Don't run. Don't flee. Stay right where he's got you. Stay in the middle of the shaking because it's for your good. And he's doing a good work in you. He's doing a new thing in you.
Yep.
Trust what he's doing through the shaking, because he won't waste the smallest grain. It won't fall to the ground. But he won't force you to stay. If you choose to leave, if you choose to run, if you choose to flee, that's your choice. But if you'll choose to stay planted, there's a blessing when you stay planted. You can become fruitful. You won't waste a seed. Worship team, I'll invite you next week. There's a shaking right now. Everything that doesn't belong is being exposed. Kids, when they go through trauma at a young age, whatever the trauma, sexual, physical abuse, verbal abuse, there's some protections that God built into us as kids. So some of us will almost disassociate with what happened. And it'll almost be like it didn't happen to us, it happened to somebody else. And it's just these natural protections that God has put in for children. But then because of the trauma, we begin to find ways to cope. We begin to find ways through the world to numb our pain, to forget what happened to us. Just get numb. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, He wants to take you back to that place right now. He wants to take you back to that place and show you that He was right there with you. For you. He didn't want that to happen to you. He wants to take you back to that place so He can heal you in that place. And you've been holding on to this protection for so long, this hard outer case, this hard shell that you thought you needed. But I'm telling you, in a shaking season, in a sifting season, He just wants you to know He wants to remove that. So that you can be healed.
Yeah.
Would you just let the wind blow over those hard places? Everything you've been holding on to try to protect yourself, to try to get numb, to try not to feel anymore, that hard outer shell, He just wants you to let go and trust Him with it today as He begins to shake things up. To trust Him that He's going to blow away what doesn't belong and He's going to heal everything that does belong. He's going to heal you so that you can become unshakable. Yes. He's going to heal you and set you free from addictions and desires that you thought you could never be free from.
That's right.
I just feel Him doing that in this place right now. I know because He's done it in my heart. And I know He wants to do it in your heart. He's doing that right now. Will you just release that in this place? It starts with confession. It starts with just bringing it into the light. Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Or Ephesians 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let them be exposed in the name of Jesus today.
Yep.
There's no shame or condemnation. There's no guilt anymore. Let them be exposed so you can step out of the darkness and into the light.
Yep.
Would you stand up? Our ministry team, I'm going to have you guys come up here to the front. And I'm telling you, you've been holding on to this. You've been hiding me. And you believe, like you can't tell anyone, but there's freedom when you bring it out of the darkness and into the light. There's healing when you bring it out of the darkness and into the light. And I'm telling you today, you can do that in this place.
Come on.
Let it go from your head and your heart to your feet. Yep. Move right now in the name of Jesus. If you need healing today, if you need to get free today, I'm telling you, let the chaff go.
Yes.
Let it blow away the wind of the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Because He loves you and He cares for you. Awake, old sleeper. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you life. Let it bring light to your heart today. Let the darkness be exposed in the name of Jesus. He's doing it right here in this place. Don't miss this chance to let your feet begin to move. Let Him carry you. Let Him walk you over the barrier. Let Him walk you out of Egypt and into the promised land today. There's freedom in this house. Give Jesus a hand right now. 10 seconds.